Welcome to The Voiceover with your host, Dee Foster III, where we discuss relevant topics that affect the culture with bold, independent commentary. Get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and encouraged.
Welcome to the Voiceover Net podcast. I'm your host, Dee Foster III, and I'm so glad you could join us. We got a very special show for you today. So right now, as we get started, I want you to like, I want you to share, I want you to follow, I want you to hit that notification bell so you know when we upload brand new content. We say this is the place you come if you want relevant, entertaining, of course, but informational and educational information. If it's happening in the culture, we are going to be talking about it. At the beginning, I want you again to share this, to like it, put it on your phone so you know when we upload. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that for me. Do that for me. Yes, yeah. And I want to say thank you for those of you who have already subscribed to the Voice of an Air podcast. And I thank you so much. And all you got to do is free, just like it. Bing, 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 bing. Now, before we get started and I introduce our guests, you know, we always have to do housekeeping announcements. Don't say all. Y'all do that in search every Sunday. Sit there for 30 minutes while somebody goes over the same thing that's on the screen. Yes. So, but anyway, I want to remind you every Sunday morning at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on WPBMediaNetworks.com, you can connect with us with what's called the Voice of Hope Connection. It's just a few minutes where every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I give a word of encouragement to help you get through the week. It ain't long, it ain't deep. We hit it, we quit it. And then at 7:30, you can connect to our Voice of Healing community prayer call. That number is on the screen. It's a call where people of every faith, every race, every denomination, we have all things in common is that we all need healing in some way or another. And so feel free to jump on that call. You don't have to say anything. That's 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time each and every Sunday. If you want more information, again, that number is on the bottom of the screen. Follow us on our social media platforms. That's the VoiceOver podcast on TikTok or on TikTok or Instagram. And then it's the VoiceOver pod on X. And of course, you can follow us on our Wake Up Global Networks social media platforms also. Now, before I get into introducing our guests, come here. You want to hear this. Y'all want to hear this. Did I tell you to share this? Yeah. Okay. We want to help you, Wake Up Global Networks, who I am CEO of, we want to help you celebrate your Shiro. That's right. Every year for Mother's Day for the past 3 years, Wake Up Global Networks has been drawing a name of a submission of one of our viewers or listeners who submits to us why we should help you honor your Shiro. And so we want you to begin now. And you know, there are many Shiros in our life, those women who have just been there, they blessed us. So I know this may be a challenging thing, but I want you to think about that one person who has made such a difference. It could be a mother, could be a mother figure, it could be a coworker. I don't know who that is, but we want to help you celebrate them. So you can go to Wake Up Global Media or the VoiceOver podcast. Both of those are on Instagram and Facebook on Wake Up Global Networks. And there's a form and you just simply fill it out and submit it. You can do all of it online. And there will be a drawing by our staff and we will announce the winner. And we have something very, very, very surprising for your Shiro. All right, that begins today. The form should be online. So those are the housekeeping announcements. No, those are your morning church announcements and govern yourselves accordingly. All right, y'all. You know, I've been talking about besides the last couple of weeks, I figured I'd let y'all recover from the podcast I did on the current and future state of the church. Recover from that. So we have a very special guest. I'm going to read a little bit about Imari, but she's going to moreover introduce herself. Imari was raised and born in Hampton, Virginia. She has always had the love of music, singing from an early age. Wow. As early as 2 years old, her love and passion for singing never, ever wavered. She could always be found in the church choir. Isn't that where most of the greats start? Wonder why. Whitney Houston, you can go down the list. Most of the greats, they start in church. She could be found singing in the church choir at church or classical, jazz, and R&B. Though her vocal gift, through her vocal gift, she received a full scholarship at the illustrious Elizabeth City State University. God, I wish I could sing like that. I would not owe Howard University to this day. Amen. But anyway, y'all know we have fun here. Don't come on here real deep and serious. This is the voiceover now, right? So we this is how we carry. We carry like this, right? So anyway, we don't get serious in a minute. But anyway, so it says that she was a member of the university choir, where she was classically trained as a music performance major. And during her college years, she had the opportunity to open for Deborah Killings and Leandra Johnson, my, alongside her fellow choir mates. Additionally, she had the opportunity to perform the infamous "I Know I've Been Changed" in front of former Moses Hogan singer, where he named her Lungs as Steel. And I could go on and on and on, but she's going to introduce herself. I am so honored, as we've been discussing music, the importance of music, the state and the future of music, I thought it not a robbery to have on this human musician. You know, music is inside of us. And I am honored to have Imari, very seriously, on with us on the Voice Over Now podcast. Imari, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being a part. What a biography. I mean, you have done so much in just a few short years. And so this speaks to me of the grace of God that is just on your life and your ability to work hard and do what you have to do to see your vision fulfilled. Before we get started in the conversation, I want you to, first of all, just, I'm sure I left out some things, share a little bit with our viewers that which you want to share about you, and then end it up by telling them how they can connect you with all of your social media platforms.
Yeah, so again, as you've already stated, I've been singing since the age of two. I have recorded my very first song alongside my mother. Music runs in our family, but my first recording was when I was 9 years old. My mother has some good friends who are in the music industry. You know, she's known a guy who produced music where he traveled and went on tour with Boyz II Men and Teddy Pendergrass and things like that. So that's always been in my atmosphere, and I've grown to love it. That's my passion. There's nothing like it. That's pretty much how I, you know, grew up. I was raised around it. And my grandfather, he was a jazz musician. My grandmother was a jazz singer. So, you know, I just can't help myself. So It's always been a passion of mine, but you can connect with me on Facebook. Find me officially Imari, that's I-M-A-R-I. And then you can also find me on Instagram as well, officially Imari as well.
Wow. This full scholarship, I want to know more about that.
Yes.
That is amazing. I know very few people. I know people who get partial scholarships, but to say you have a full scholarship, what a tremendous, tremendous blessing. What is your I'm assuming your major was in music also?
Yes.
Your major was in music. Now, how can people connect with you? You have a single out, and I want our viewers to make sure they go to your platforms and purchase a copy of your single, because I am big on us supporting our upcoming, our season artist that's making conscious music, music that is ministering to our souls and not diminishing and taking away. So how can people get a hold of you, number one, and how can they access your music?
Yes, so if you want to book me to come and do performances, I do, you know, little performances, private performances such as like weddings or funerals. Sometimes people call me to come in for church. There's no limit. So you can reach me via email. That's officially imari@gmail.com. You can purchase my song on Apple Music. It is also on Spotify and YouTube as well. It is called Breathe Again. As you stated, it's my first single as an independent artist. And I'm really excited about it. It's been doing pretty well. So now I can now put on my resume that I am now an international recording artist. So I'm excited about that. That's big for me.
Absolutely. Congratulations also. Congratulations. As we get into this conversation about music and the industry and where you're going, give us a little bit about what was your life like growing up? Did you always know from a child that you were gifted and created for music, or is it was kind of something that you stumbled into? Because both happen to people. Some people just come here with a knowing, but then some stumble into what they're supposed to be doing. How did you discover that this was my gift, music and singing?
So when I started, my parents used to record me and my brother. I'm the youngest of four, but my parents, they used to record every little, you know, event or occasion, and sometimes just because moments on their camcorder. And I remember that I was singing at the age of two, I was singing a Hezekiah Walker song, and my mom, you know, played it back for me. And I'm like really into it, and I'm giving all the emotions, and I was just really feeling it. And she was like, that's why we started recording you. So from that point on, I noticed that, like, even, you know, when I would be in elementary school, you know, I love going to music class. I would get excited. I always wanted to have solos. I even, you know, have been asked to sing the national anthem over the PA system. So it was those moments where I'm like, okay, I can do this all the time with no hesitation. I have no issues with doing it. So that's when I realized at that young age that this was something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Now, I want you to have an honest moment, because you're like, by the way, y'all, this is the cousin, I have to, full disclosure, this is the cousin of our great, great administrative assistant of Wake Up Global Networks, Minister Prophetess Kiera O'Reilly. So I just wanted y'all to know that, you know, she's the best, her and her husband and her whole family. So apple don't fall far from the tree. So they connected. So, who was your favorite artist? Okay, I want you to ask me two questions. Who was your favorite artist then? And if it's not the same, who's your favorite artist now?
Okay. You know, when people ask me that question, I tend to kind of trouble them or puzzle them a little bit because I tell them I don't really have a favorite. And the reason being is because I am so in tune with many genres, such as like classical music. You know, I can tell you picks from Mozart or Beethoven or Chopin, you know, things like that, and then go over to gospel and tell you who's, you know, who's my favorite, what's my favorite go-to, such as like Mary Mary or Kiara Kiki Sheard or Yolanda Adams, Fred Hammond. You know, those were my go-to then. I used to use classical music to study and do homework with, and I started picking up when I recognized that I had an ear for music, not just a gift for music, was when I would listen to classical music. And I would get on my mom's keyboard and start trying to figure out how to play certain songs. And my first song that I learned how to play on my own was Moonlight Sonata. And so that's where that kind of like started. And then when we go into like the old school, you know, Anita Baker and Luther Vandross and people like that, you know, and then when we go into the neo soul, we talk about India RE and Jill Scott, and then the contemporaries and such as like Jasmine Sullivan or Music Soul Child, you know, those were all my go-tos and still kind of are my go-tos today. But in terms of a new artist that I am kind of like on a wave with is an artist named Masego. And he does phenomenal work. He is very creative. And little did I know that he actually is from the area where I'm from. And he actually went to college with a couple of my classmates that I grew up with. So I thought that was pretty awesome. He's from Virginia. I feel like when it comes to music, a lot of great artists comes from Virginia. So
from them Hampton Roads, be turning them out. Really? Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like you. I like peculiar music. I'm not into mainstream of anything. Mm-hmm. There's a sound I look for. I'm not really a lyrical guy. It's a sound. So when Jonathan Reynolds first came out with his guitar, right? And everybody was like, oh, he not going to, I'm like, no, this dude got some. This, he got a sound. Now, lyrically, that's your opinion. But he got, and when you mentioned India IRE, there's a particular sound. Mm-hmm. That I listen to. So it sounds like you kind of the same thing, that it's not necessarily lyrical, but what are those sounds and what? And I used to do the same thing in school, because there's something about you mentioned classical music is proven it stimulates the brain. As a matter of fact, they said it's good when you put classical music when a baby is trying to sleep, that you play classical music, because that kind of sound, again, is wiring the brain. And I always say that God has a sound, and sound is very important. Every generation, like you, I listen to your music, you have a sound of the current generation. And I think artists come into their giftings based on the sound that they bring to us. What is your thinking on the sound piece versus the lyrical piece?
Yes, I agree. When it comes to the sound, I tend to dissect. So when I listen, I'm listening to specific parts, or, you know, how did they do this? How did they articulate this? What dynamics did they use and where? Why did they place it there to try to understand the song? And then I go back and I listen to it again. And then I listen to the different moving parts, such as like the backgrounds or the main vocals. And I feel like that's important to be able to connect with a song. And I think that a lot of the times, a lot of people don't do that. People kind of go into it and listen to lyrics first, mm-hmm. instead of listening to the actual music, because music is universal, right? Anybody and anywhere can come with a song, and if it moves you, it moves you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's important for people to kind of listen to the sound, because they miss it, you know. So
with Imari, with all that's as we take a turn, with all that's going on in the music industry today, and we know, you know, unfortunately, there's the P. Diddy situation, there's Cassie, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in the industry that's coming out that, you know, for years, certain things have been rumored. And that's why there have been artists who've gone independent. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But as a artist, and not just a gospel artist, but an artist that you are with access to all genres of music, what is your thought about some of this? And is it surprising that this is coming out? And I just wanted to know, I have a thought, but I'm not in the industry, but someone who is, and I don't want to say industry like you're in that, but as an artist, do you have any thoughts about what's happening in that industry at this time?
I'm not surprised. And the reason being is because when I was in high school, roughly about my junior or senior year, I was trying to get in tune with writing. My mom, she can write a song all day long. And I felt like God only just gave me the gift of voice. He didn't give me the total package like he did my mom, right? And so when I tried to do my first song, I wrote it out. And we went to another friend of hers who he actually went to Berklee College of Music in Boston. And his classmate was Layla Hathaway. So we went to his studio and I recorded my very first song, right? And the first song that I recorded, as I mentioned earlier, when I was nine, was a song that I did with my mother. That was a duet that we did together. But my actual song that I wrote was when I was in high school, and we sent it off to Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers wanted to give me a record deal. We respectfully declined, simply because of the fact that they were trying to change my image. They basically, in a nutshell, unfortunately, were trying to make me a symbol, a sex symbol. Wow. And, you know, at such a young age, and, you know, I was only a teenager. So we were like, no, thank you. And they were trying to compare me to Rihanna. And I think that is part of the problem with the industry now. You know, everybody's doing whatever and coming up with whatever just to make it into the industry, and not realizing what that cost is. And I think that it's important to be an independent artist, because you will have so much more freedom versus being in the actual industry, whereas you think it's all good, and then realize, number one, you're not going to get paid like you think you are, because then along comes a lot of things. They tell you, oh, you need to have this, you need to have that, such as like, you need a makeup artist, you need a stylist, you need somebody to be your assistant. And all of that money goes into that. And you see how much of that you have to pay everybody else first before you get paid, right? And then not only that, but they try to limit you. No, I don't think that we should go for this sound. I think that you should do more of these things. And because your contract says you have to do as I say, unfortunately, you have to do as I say until this contract is no longer. And then it could also be a limitation of, well, we have you on this contract. You're on a contract for, let's say, for an example, for 5 years. After that fifth year, underneath in the subtext, it says you can't work with any other label, then you're stuck. So that's why I feel like it's important for people who really want to go into this, and if they are willing to put in that work, it's important to be an independent artist because you'll have so much more freedom. You don't have those limitations or somebody telling you, no, we should gear more towards this or we should do more of this. And that's not who you are. Stay true to who you are. And that's why it's important.
Wow. You opened up so many things I want to dive into. I want to go rewind. Mm-hmm. So from listening to you and from what other people have mentioned to me, so when you talk about the industry, would it be fair to say and true to say it's not as much for the artists of selling, marketing their music, but initially marketing a image? Because that's what I heard you say, that the first thing they wanted to do, forget your music, right? Forget your talent, forget your ability. At the top of the list, we have to make you a sex symbol, whatever that is. We have to change your nature and market it as a type of Rihanna. So how much, in your opinion, in your experience, is it image versus talent or art, if you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I see a lot of people go into the industry one way, to be honest with you. I don't want to call any, but we can see a lot of artists that they enter into the industry one way. And after a year or two, they are a total different person. And you're like, what did y'all do with X, Y, and Z? You know, and I'm thinking of a couple of artists here. What did y'all do with that in their whole image, their whole, maybe they've had work on themselves. Maybe they've had, you know, changes in their body. And that always caught my attention. Is this a requirement to make it in the entertainment and music industry?
Yeah. So with the image, that is the main focus. The main focus is your image. Talent is in the back, and then the art is in the middle. But again, the image takes place of that. Now, I will say it is not required for people to change their image, but because you're being told repetitively, oh, well, this is selling, and this person is doing this. Oh, everybody's doing it. You should do it too. It's harmless. And the more that they feed into that, the more that they manipulate artists into altering their image. And whether that being, you know, getting their lips done or their body, you know, reconstructed or things like that. And then you notice, as you stated, that they come into it as something that's so sweet and innocent and pure to it. And then they go dark. And so it's mainly their focus to market the industry or the image, like what will sell the most? How can we make you sell? Because it's not about talent. Because I can tell you right now, when I get in my car, I don't even cut the radio on. And when I do, it's just like, what's the point? And I go back to, you know, the other platforms that I use, such as like, you know, YouTube or Spotify or something like that, because I have my own creation of different artists of real music. Because, you know, these artists now who are in the industry, that half of the time you don't know what they're talking about. And then when you do recognize what they're talking about, it's like, is that what I want my children to listen to? Is that what I want the lesson to be about? Like, are we about hatred, or, you know, are we going to talk about love? Like, or are we going to bring light to certain things, you know, and talk about what exactly are we talking about in this music? And so that's why, again, when I get in my car, I don't even cut the radio on, because it's not even about talent anymore. It's about what's catchy and what will profit, pretty much.
What is your opinion on auto-tunes? Because I've heard a lot of people say one of the things that has kind of messed the industry up, mm-hmm. is the introduction of auto-tunes, which means nothing is original, not even some vocals. Everything is coming out of computers. Do you think that helped, hampered, or it depends?
I feel like it depends. It depends on how it's being used and how often it's being used. So if you have an artist, for an example, the artist T-Pain, he tends to use auto-tunes a lot. And that's why everybody was in a complete shock when he performed live. And they were like, oh, he can actually sing for real. Like, you know, he uses it to kind of amplify or manipulate a certain sound into the song. So I understand why he does it. I do think that he doesn't really need it. But some people tend to, for lack of a better term, abuse that. And it can be misleading to those who don't have real talent versus someone who does. So it's just, you know, if I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Right, right. I want you to. Yes.
So a lot of people, they, you know, they tend to manipulate it. So it depends on how often it's being used.
Okay. Yes. Okay, good. Because that's been my thing, that you very seldom you get to hear a artist's rare talent anymore, because auto-tune or musicians, auto-tune has really come in. And I think, like you said, it depends, but for the most part, I think it has really changed the industry, where it's an industry where talent is not, if I'm gonna just be transparent, sometimes, and maybe you can help me with this, I'd be wondering. I'll listen to a song and I listen to the voice and I'm like, who did they know? Or what did they do to get on this label and then to get their music played? Who did? When you have people like yourself who, much, in my opinion, much more talented, much more gifted and original, and they go through hell and back, have to go independent, have to raise the money to get their music played. And here's somebody who is average, right? Average. And you hear their music. I used to work at a particular radio station, so I know about the spin cycle, how often your music plays, depending on where you're coming out at the chart. And once an hour, if you listen to that station, their music is coming out. Talk about that. What is that? Because I think that's more of what it's come to, that you be liking, and if I'm in a car with my life, I can't believe they really playing that already. I can't believe I just heard that 3 times in an hour. That means it's at the top, it's trending. It's trending, right? And so they're going to play that because advertisers are going to, they look for what's at the top of the charts to put their commercials and their advertisement, because that's where the most people are listening to this song. Talk about that, because I'm baffled by this when there are original, hardworking artists that are struggling to get heard. Make it make sense.
So that goes into what I was mentioning earlier, where, you know, they go for what's more catchy. And those, a lot of the times, artists like that are the ones they're easily manipulated. Versus someone who has real talent, they're not going to bend on certain things. Absolutely not. I will not be doing that. I don't think that that's appropriate. That's not who I am. I don't want that to be portrayed as such. So I will not be doing it. Then it becomes, oh, this person is hard to deal with. This person is hard to work with. Oh, we're not really going to give them much airplay versus somebody who's willing to do any and everything to get to the top with no real talent because they're easily manipulated. And that's why a lot of the times you hear things that are absolutely ridiculous and you know, they may not be saying nothing at all and they may be saying too much, you know, on a record. And that's why they get played the most.
How does, and you touched it, how does a person sell millions of CDs or whatever, streams, perform and end up broke in the industry? I mean, you're at the top of the charts. Mm-hmm. Everybody's singing your music. Every time we turn on the radio or whatever, we're hearing it. And then at the end of the day, you have no money. And yet you're signed to a label. You've been marketed, you've been promoted, you've been distributed. How's that happen?
So basically, it's in stages, right? So when you go in, and you have a producer. The producer creates the music, creates the sound. You go in with your lyrics. Now it depends. It depends on if you are the writer yourself or if someone else is writing for you. So if you are the writer yourself, okay, well, you're going to get a portion of that, but then you also have to think of who's mixing the music, the sound, to edit some of the things, and then who's mastering where it's going to be clean cut and this is how it's going to play. It's going to sound really good after all the final edits and after all the playbacks. You have to pay that person. Then after it goes from being mastered, we have to now distribute the music, whether it's being distributed for streams or, you know, back then where everybody was doing CDs, you know, and things of that nature. So you have to think about where it's all going to, and it's being distributed. You have to pay the person to do that for you. Then you have to go into marketing yourself so that people can go and listen to your song. So now we're paying the marketer, and then now trying to promote this song to get more plays, but not only that, to be able to perform so that people can come out and purchase tickets to come to your concerts to hear you perform that particular song. You now have to pay a promoter. You also have to pay the venue. There's a lot of things that go into it, and that's why you tend to see artists go on tour for so many days. And you're like, well, they were just in New York yesterday. How are they all in California today within 24 hours? That's why they work overtime a lot, because they have to compensate for all the people that they had to pay before they got to where they are.
So the artist basically, if I'm interpreting what you're saying correct, is the last person to get paid then, basically.
Yes.
Wow.
You are the last person to get paid. And that's why a lot of people, they tend to go broke or they file bankruptcy, because all their money is being distributed. Because again, you have to think of the different stages that you go through to get to where you are. And then all the people that fall under that umbrella. And then you think about makeup artists, you think about having a stylist, you think about having a driver, or, you know, musicians, you have to pay your band, you know, or if you have background singers that come along with you, you have to pay them. There's nothing that's given to you for free. And they make it seem like everything's covered. We're going to give you an advance. We're going to do this for you and that and for you. But because we came out of our pocket to finance it, you have to pay us back. So however many sales you make and how much you get paid for X amount of sales, that money comes back to me. You will never see a penny of it. And that's why a lot of artists go broke.
What did you feel like when you declined Warner? Did you ever get to the point where you regretted declining to sign with Warner and say, I should have? Or are you glad that you made your decision?
Initially, when I found out that they were trying to change my image and they wanted me to be more like someone else, and I'm going to be transparent, when they told me or told the person who was conducting for me, he stated, they say you sound like Rihanna. And during that time, I had no interest in Rihanna. I felt like she had no talent at all. She could not sing, in my opinion, and everybody else loved her. So I was just like, oh no, I don't sound anything like her. I don't want to change anything about me. I don't want to be like her. And then, of course, naturally, years later, I felt like, well, dang, you know, what would life be like now for me if I did say yes, you know? But I'm still grateful that I didn't, because, again, seeing throughout the years, because I'm very observant. And I tend to like to study and see what's actually happening that everybody else is missing. And I've noticed that some people aren't really progressing and they're pretty much doing the same things over and over and over again. And they're singing the same songs and they haven't, you know, created anything new. Why is that? Well, because they don't have the finances to back it. So that's why they have to, you know, again, keep working so hard. And it's just like, I don't want no parts in that. I don't want to fall in that category of, you know, going into the industry and then I'm not getting anywhere. And a lot of people, you know, used to tell me all the time or ask me, you should do American Idol. You should do The Voice. You know, and I would, at first, of course, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, I would love to audition and be on the show. But then as I started watching, you notice from the beginning of time, each artist who final in the last round and won the actual American Idol, they always mention about having a deal with Ford. They get a car, they get, you know, they do a song or they get signed to a label or what have you. But you notice it stopped after they won and after mm-hmm. they air. You don't hear nothing else from them. You don't see them anywhere or anything. I feel like Fantasia was the only one who really pushed for it because she really wanted it. And that resulted in she got her limited contract. She did her music, and then after that, she fell off. And then the next move that she made was she got on reality TV for a little bit. And then the next move she made after that, because that started becoming detrimental to her family dynamic, she didn't want to do that anymore. So the next move she made was, now I'm going to start doing Broadway. And she did Broadway for quite some time. And then the next move she made was, okay, now I'm going to re-release some new music. And she did that in the midst of her Broadway before she completely stopped doing it. And so that was something that I recognized early on, that it's not worth going to these TV shows who make it seem like we're trying to help you. It's only for their entertainment, mm-hmm. for their sales. And yeah, to get you exposure, but that exposure only goes but so far. So that's why I've never wanted to or had any interest in doing things like that, because what's the point?
I want to commend you. I said this in our pre-conversation a couple of weeks ago when we first met. I want to commend you because I think it was a big heroic step for you to say, with all that can happen with my career, with my artistry, with signing with a major label like Warner. I refuse. First of all, I think that was the ultimate sign of maturity. I don't know how many people would have found themselves doing that. Mm-hmm. I also want to say and commend you that you have done something that I am a proponent of. And this comes out no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm teaching my class, whether I'm doing podcasts. I am begging people almost that we are in a time where you must own your artistry and your voice. Mm-hmm. It is key. Yes, as you and I talk, and as we close, I'm going to let you expound on it from a personal experience. But as you and I talked, it can take longer. It's more difficult because when you're with a label, they put the money behind your promotion. When you're with a label, they negotiate with radio stations to get your music played. And of course, the more your music is played, the more your music is heard. The more your music is heard, the more your music is brought. So that's a given. You get put on tours. You get on other people's platform. So you get all of those bells and whistles. But, and I guess this comes out of my prophetic insight, at the end of the day, as you have so craftily laid out for us today, you don't even own you. Mm-hmm. You don't own your music. One of the things I loved about Prince is, after Prince went through that thing with his label and he had to change his name to get out of it, Prince said he would not put anybody on his labels, and this is a whole different stuff, that didn't own their master, because that's where the power is, owning your masters. Mm-hmm. You laid it out. You don't own anything. And I am a proponent, because of the times I believe we live in, that we must begin to take ownership, whether it's artistry, whether it's music, whether it is ministry, whether it is a business. I believe the word today is ownership. Ownership is the longer route, right?
Yes.
It's the more, if we be transparent, Imani, it's the more difficult route. But at the end of the day, when you get to the top of the mountain, and you'll get there when you work hard, it's just the lazy artists that don't get there. It's the lazy business owners that don't get there. You will, the law of averages say, you will get there if you keep your integrity and if you keep your character and work hard, you'll get there. And the reward won't come, in my opinion, until you get to the top. And ain't nobody pulling your strings. And ain't nobody telling you what you can't sing. Ain't nobody telling you what you can't and can say. That's called owning your voice. Mm-hmm. So I had to say that. I've listened to your story. I commend you, because especially as an upcoming artist, I don't know too many people would have did that. They would have taken a shortcut and say, rebrand me, sell me as a sex, do whatever you got to do. I just want to be famous. I just want to be known. And I know people like that. But when you get, and I always say it like this, that works as long as you don't divert from the script. Mm-hmm. Because when you're bought, there's always a script handed to you. And we see that all the time, right? Artists who say, I don't want to play by this. Prince was one. He was like, Michael Jackson, I don't want to play by this script no more. Mm-hmm. And we see what happened. What's your thought on that? And as we bring this to a close for now, but you got to come back because we just get, what is your advice as you comment on it to those who saying, I want to be in the industry. I want to be famous. I got music. I got talent. Give them some sage advice, Iman.
Well, my advice would be to pay attention and to stay focused and make sure you go over everything and understand what it is that it is before you. And if this is something that, you know, something that you think that you want to do, go for it. But make sure you have a clear understanding of what it is that is before you, because so many people miss that. And it's because they're so quick to just write on the dotted line. If you have an inkling that something doesn't feel right, or that's not something that I would necessarily do, I would not recommend you doing it. Simply because at that moment, again, as you've stated, you don't have ownership. You have ownership. You don't even have ownership of yourself. And a lot of people don't know that, or they don't understand that. And so if you ever want to go into the industry again, you have to make sure that you understand what it is that it is before you, and that you are willing to make that sacrifice. And if that's not something that's for you, don't do it. It's always better to be an independent artist. As I mentioned before, Masego is a new artist that I've come to love over the last about 5 or 6 years. He did a song, and it was called Tadao. And that song blew up, and he did an impromptu on that song, and that song blew to past his imagine. And he's now traveling the world. He's created other music. He's even had opportunities to record alongside some other known artists, whether that be some reggae artist, or from Jamaica, or somebody that's kind of known that may have been on TV before. He's been traveling overseas. He's been traveling over to the islands, the UK, all of those things, all because he stood his ground and remained an independent artist. And his one song surpassed anything that any other artist in the industry could have done. So that's something to think about and to consider. If you want to be on that path, then your best bet would be to be independent, where you can have ownership of not only yourself, but as well as your music. So you can be able to freely do what you please and to share yourself as well as your music to the world.
Wow, we got to have part two on this. We just jumping into this. And I just want to say thank you so much for being on. Thank you for being transparent. I want y'all to go hit her up, go to her platforms. If you just coming in, rewind to the beginning, watch the replay. She gives all of her information, how she can be contacted. And I want you to support. And that's a part of it too. When artists have the gumption and the courage to go independent, then we have to support them. That's the other piece. Since they don't have big labels, advertising, marketing behind them, then it's up to us. So I want you to rush right now to her websites, okay? And I want you to download, go to Apple. I think she said, was it Apple?
Spotify and YouTube.
Exactly. And pay for her music. That's right. That's what we got to, that's the part two we got to talk about. Okay, if an artist is going to be free enough to be there and own them, they have to have financial support. Every vision needs provision. So I want you to go over and show her some love and make comments and encourage her. Imari, we're going to have you back. I want to say this prophetically, with all that's going on in the industry, unfortunately, many lives are being torn apart. There's a reckoning that's happening. But I see in the distance that this is going to bring a much needed change to the music and entertainment industry. That after all of these, and I'll say it, and I did a video on this, gatekeepers are exposed. I'm believing that people with integrity, character, are going to be prophetically put in positions over these, and even an emergence of new labels that people can feel free to come into the industry without worrying about abuse, image change, manipulation, and domination. I'm telling you. And I think that this awful thing that we're going through with seeing the exposure of what we've been knowing that's happening, but now is the time that it is being revealed. It's going to move some of this aside. It's going to move the casting couch aside. You don't have to sell yourself to get your talent recognized. And I believe that this is a part, and not to turn real spiritual, but this is practical. This is a part of, and the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. And I think it had to start with one of the most influential industries in the earth, music and entertainment. So I'm so glad you ain't give in. I'm so glad you, and I'm just joking when I'm saying this. I'm so glad you ain't get 666 on your forehead, right? It's been a pleasure. I want to say thank you so much. I'm so grateful to Prophetess Kiara for just connecting us. And I'll be in touch soon because there's a part two, because we still got to talk about what your vision is for your, we just got into the flow, right? And there's so many areas that I still want to touch. So I want to say thank you so much. May God continue to bless you. May God continue to give you the resources that you need to get your voice heard and to, more importantly, get your message out so that you can continue to heal humanity and continue to bring life and joy to all of those of us that listen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
The pleasure was all ours. And so you have a great day.
Thank you for being a part of The Voiceover. Please follow us on all of our social media platforms to stay connected to our upcoming shows and guests. Instagram at The Voiceover Radio. Twitter at DPropheticEye. That's the letter D, prophetic, EYE. If this show has enriched you in any way, please share The Voiceover among your circle. Until next time, keep allowing your voice to be heard.